Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 77 of the Webcomic Beacon. That's right, we are the Webcomic Beacon, right on webcomicbeacon.com. And we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics community at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of fessworks.com, and with me are my co-hosts, Tanya of betapone.com.
Hello, hello.
And Mark Savory of autumnlake.com.
Hello.
You know what, I only mentioned Mark's last name instead of Tanya's last name.
I don't think it really matters. The federal government can't decide what my last name is anyway. So.
Oh? What's this?
I was divorced more than 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I have sent in my paperwork to have my maiden name taken back, I think, 3 times. And
had the heinous name, right? Before.
I did. I had the heinous name. It was Tanya Hannes was my marriage.
Totally heinous. Totally heinous. Dude.
But they won't send me my new Social Security card. So until I get my new Social Security card, all my bank information is still under my married name. So,
huzzah.
Bastards.
I also have... I just recently applied for LLC. So someone I know that... a cartoonist that I know that is in Minnesota recommended that is what I apply for. And now next I got to see... So it's going to be Fessworks LLC. Now mm-hmm. I got to figure out if I need to get any assumed names for... Like, I'm wondering, like, how do I have, like, the Webcomic Beacon, the Shifter Archive, my comic and such like that, all under that, if I need
typically
to?
Well, being... Oh, go ahead.
Being a limited liability company doesn't mean that you can say someone's a poopy head and get away with it.
Yeah. You're still liable for actual, illegalities. If you do something that's against the law, you're still liable for that. Basically, what that would prevent is from somebody suing you for something business-related and then taking your house.
Yeah, they can't do that.
Oh. But the way you get everything else under your LLC is to have the actual LLC secure the trademarks or the trade names. So, like, in my case, Betapone Enterprises owns the, it owns the trade name Betapone.
Yeah, and, but how do you do that? How do you get a trade name?
Well, if you go to your Secretary of State website, there should be a place to register a trade name. It's normally $25. And you have a choice between registering that trade name as an individual or as an established corporation. So you would be registering the trade name as your LLC rather than as an individual.
Right.
And that pulls all those trade names under that one LLC, which is how you would then handle your taxes. So instead of filing taxes for each and every one of the separate bits, you're only filing taxes for the main LLC.
Right. See, that's the thing. I couldn't figure out where to find trade names. I just found assumed names and trademarks and service marks.
And then your Secretary of State should have
that's what I've been
a place
on.
To register a trade name. Really?
Yeah, but I'm not entirely sure. Because I'm looking under forms and fees.
Uh-huh.
And they don't have trade names listed.
Well, here, where are you?
SOS.state.mn.us.
I just meant what state?
Oh, Minnesota. But...
Minnesota.
I just forgot where the hell you were. All right. So let's see.
He's in a little town just outside on the edge of the prairie.
You have the best voice. You're just sexy as hell.
Is trade name one word?
Trade name is actually two words.
But is it a compound word?
No, if it was a compound word, it would be one word.
You're right. That would make some sense.
Mabel down at the Chatterbox Cafe said that she didn't know about being an LLC.
I adore you.
The trip down
did we introduce Adam? Isn't Adam here?
I was waiting. I was so waiting.
Me too. I was waiting.
Because we did not.
We also have Adam of theappleofdiscord.com with us as we're going to be talking about part two of our two-part series of How Not to Make a Webcomic this week.
Yay.
It's okay. Take your time. No rush to introduce me or anything. I'm just sitting here.
That's okay. Moving on, Tanya?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't find it.
Okay, you know what? I will find it.
Well,
I will
find it.
Wait a minute. You know, first of all, your Secretary of State site kind of sucks, is what you need to know. There's no search. What's up with that?
Yeah.
Well, it was made by Lutherans. We figured we didn't need it because someone at the Lady of Perpetual Responsibility was going to take care of the website.
You know, that sounds like right out of Firesign Theater.
It's a really bad Garrison Keillor because I have a cold.
Yeah, I knew it was Garrison Keillor.
It's a bad Garrison Keillor.
Well, the first one you did sounded closer, so.
Yeah, I know. I've been hacking my lungs out. Don't mind me.
Oh, that's excellent. That's wonderful. I'm sorry.
Might be thinner when I'm done, I hope.
Good Lord, this sucks. Just in case anybody's curious, the Office of Minnesota Secretary of State website blows.
So there
Not
you
that
go.
I blame Mr. Mark Ritchie.
I believe that they only used assumed names in Minnesota. That's what it looks like. It's just
they probably don't have funding for extra pixels.
This doesn't make any sense, though. Okay, it may be through another agency.
I went to a business name registration or doing business as at business.gov.
Yeah, but that's different.
And they list the DBA filing requirements for each state, including links to trade names for various states, and
yeah.
Minnesota only has assumed names. So Minnesota and Idaho, it looks like, it's just an assumed name is what you go under.
Well, okay, but the problem with that is that what you're actually doing is you're renaming your LLC. A DBA name is literally renaming your LLC. So if at some point in the future, let's say somebody opens up a business that is similar to your LLC and you're getting a lot of bizarre cross traffic mm-hmm. and it becomes a hassle to mm-hmm. you, then what you would do is you would register a new name and do business as that name. So federally, you would still be known as the original LLC name,
right?
But so trade names are different. Like
they're still $25 though.
Well, it may still be $25, but you're not doing yourself any good. What you're trying to do is actually create an umbrella corporation. You're having your yeah. LLC at the top, which controls all of these other trade
right.
names, and getting a DBA is not going to help you. That's not the same thing.
So there. Webcomics.
Webcomics, well.
Now that we've gone through the rough white water of high finance and business.
It's not even high finance. This is like sad.
Corporate shenanigans.
Corporate shenanigans.
So
I'm
trying to avoid going in to talk to people, so. Anyway, we'll have to do that. Anyway, how not to make a webcomic podcast is by talking about not the subject. And how not to make a webcomic. Let's recap. What are the five that we went over last time?
Well, in brief, we had, number one was fourth wall breaking, frequently and badly. Number two was overused, lame, bad, predictable story arcs. Number three was doing a comic type that specifically pigeonholes you into a limited readership. I call them the forbidden types, and we targeted sprite comics, gamer comics, mature comics,
furry,
and I don't remember the fifth one. I'm drawing a blank.
Newspaper comics.
Oh, photo comics.
Photo comics.
I thought that was photo all comics. A part of the niche comic type. That
yeah,
was,
it was.
It did
that
cross
is.
Over a little, but. Yeah.
See, then number four was knowing the difference between inspiration and imitation, and trying to find your own voice that isn't suspiciously too similar to some famous webcomic. And then the last thing we hit on was having a comic which is actually readable in the font is large enough and clear enough that human beings, when using their eyes, can make out the words and the action in your comic.
Gotcha.
And then we went on a little thing about Comic Sans, which probably doesn't need to be repeated
or ever used again.
Personally, it's a very, very viable and legitimate font. It's just that it carries a nuance with it, which you might as well just avoid.
And a stench of rotting flesh.
A little bit. Actually, it doesn't even have that. It's like anymore. Button mushrooms. Button mushrooms. It has no flavor of its own. It's the tofu font.
I think that it's kind of like if you play one of the big multiplayer online role games, never doing anything to tweak the design of your character. So you're still up there in level 60, and you're running around with the original sword and armor.
In noob gear?
Yeah, you're in the noob. It is the noob gear of fonts.
It is the magic missile.
That's a very good example. I mean, maybe they're trying to prove something.
It's a great one. I don't think they're trying to prove squats.
Or maybe they're role playing, you know?
Maybe they suck.
Well, I've actually used the original stuff for role playing or lower level stuff for role playing scenarios. Especially when you can get a complete set. I mean, just
some
because you're wearing
some
it doesn't mean you're
happy,
out fighting with
some
it.
Some people are happy to be tofu. That's what it comes down to.
Anyway, number six.
Well, number six is something that strikes a chord with me specifically, and I know at least one other person here. So number six is going on hiatus.
Yeah. I don't even think you can call what I'm doing now a hiatus. Yeah. Ugh. My best advice would be don't. I mean, I know it's not always possible. Believe me, I know more than I think most people. Because my body hates me, and so occasionally it rears up and says, no, really what you're going to do is sit on a couch for a month. But don't make promises you can't keep with a hiatus, I think is my biggest.
Yeah, because my personal take on this is that if you have any sort of a buffer at all, I mean, even if it's just one or two comics, you can throttle the release of your comics to keep something coming up at least maybe once a week. My big issue on this is in reading a lot of new web comics, you get a comic and it's got a ton of potential. And then you're reading through and you see something and I see these messages and it just causes my heart to stop when I see it. And I'm like, I'm really enjoying the comic. And then I hit a blog post and they're like, well, going to go take my final exams for college now. Be back in a week. And that's where the comic ends.
Yeah.
Eight semesters ago.
They never make it back is the big problem. If you're, I think a webcomic's kind of like a relationship, and if you've been on three dates with the girl and you say, you know what, I'm really enjoying this, but I think I need to take a little time, that's not a good sign for the relationship. The webcomic is
for
the
relationship with my comic to be consummated.
For the record, if it ever comes up to, we should take it slow. That's usually a bad sign. Every time that it's been, we should slow down, it's ended shortly thereafter. Because when you do that, you're just sabotaging yourselves, because there's obviously a problem if you, quote-unquote, have to slow down.
I would say we should take it take it slow without any sort of valid psychological explanation. We should take it slow because my father, the alcoholic, just died is perfectly valid, and it doesn't mean that, you know, your relationship is doomed. It just means that they're in a bad place right now.
I should clarify the immediate relationship.
Yeah, if it's just like we should take it slow because I'm not really feeling you, that's not good.
Then put your hand here.
Feeling them, then.
Yeah, what does this have to do with webcomics?
I'm sorry, I was just trying to be funny.
It was the restraining order against you.
Restraining orders are normally a bad sign. In my experience, the last restraining order that I had on someone actually came about due to a police tasing on my front lawn. Nothing says our relationship is fucking over like the police tasing you on their front lawn. That's a bad sign.
Well, you must have done something really bad then.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Well, well, anyway.
There's a couple of things that people can do to help avoid hiatuses.
Yes.
If you know you have something coming up, if you've got a big event in your life, like you're going on vacation, you're getting married, you're having a baby, start putting out feelers early. There's a lot of great communities out there where people will at least throw you a bone of like an artist sketch or something like that. The webcomic list has an entire sub forum, which I pushed for like 6 months, which has now been created specifically for requests like this, and which I personally frequently haunt.
Yeah.
I will go there and will, you know, try to pick up occasional.
Is this the dog pile forum?
Yeah, the dog pile. Yeah.
Cool. I should check that out more often.
Yeah. Also, if you're in a community already, like Drunk Duck or Comic Genesis, drawing from the community that you're in is never a bad thing. And if, you know, you actually have readers and haven't chased them away already, it never hurts to put out a request and see if you can get somebody to step up and to help you out a little bit. It's really a good community building experience, and you can turn such a negative into such a positive very quickly if you play it right.
Yeah.
I would have to give the codicil that if you've had only 3 updates ever.
That is true.
And asking for guest art is kind of dumb.
Yeah, a little bit.
But then again, if you've only had 3 comics ever, no one's going to notice if you've gone on hiatus.
Exactly right.
It's like, I'm putting out a press release that we're stopping our comic, and then everyone's like, you
what
had
comic?
A comic?
What? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
This all boils down to communication with your readers, really.
Yeah.
Because your readers will forgive a lot, Tanya, if you let them know that you're having a hiatus and check in with them from time to time, Tanya. And,
I'm so sorry, readers.
and then they'll know, see, that you're not gone away, that you'll be back, and they just need to wait around.
I was functionally blind for a little while. It's very difficult, as it turns out. I know, it's actually very difficult to turn out comics.
You were on hiatus before that.
I was.
So that doesn't count for an excuse.
No, the sad thing is that it was one of those compound situations where I was like, wow, okay, I finished, I'm ready to go, and then something happened. And it's like, okay, that's taken care of, I'm ready to go, and then something happened. It was like the worst spacing for a domino effect ever. But none of that really matters. I screwed over my readers. I take full responsibility for that. It was not my intention, and I will do what I can to make up for it. But yeah, I totally screwed the pooch on this one. What I will say is, as far as guest comics, mm-hmm. Guest comics are great, and it does, in fact, you know, let your readers know that, yeah, something's going on, and you haven't just abandoned the comic, which is, you know, their fear. Don't expect to keep your numbers, though. If you put up guest comics thinking that you're going to retain the numbers you had, you will be sorely disappointed. It doesn't matter. It's been my experience. It doesn't even matter if the guest comics are of amazing quality. People just kind of wait until you come back. So don't be disappointed if the numbers go down.
There is an upside, though. Guest art, whether someone does it for you or you do it to help someone else out, is a mm-hmm. bit of a cross promotionally thing, which is
one of the best things that I ever did was guest art for Geek Tragedy. You know, I did, and I can't, you know, my skill compared to Ed's was sad. I took a hell of a lot of time on that comic, and I was still embarrassed to hand it over. But you know, there were a lot of people that seemed to appreciate it, and, you know, sent me little emails, and, you know, and started reading it.
The other the other really nice thing about those is they last, too. I still get hits off of a guest strip that I did for Chainbear. Like the second week I was doing webcomics after I came back from my self-imposed hermitage last year. I'm still getting hits, you know, maybe two or three a week from people that are trolling the archives, and they see that and they're like, oh, what's this guy about? And then I've got a new reader off of something I did a year ago.
Yeah, I've noticed the same thing. So doing guest art is awesome. If you're soliciting guest art for your own comic, know that you're kind of doing, you know, them a favor, and you are communicating to your audience that you still care about the comic, but you are going to lose some numbers. Don't freak out.
Also, be sure that you give proper credit, proper links, proper, because nothing quite says screw you like putting up somebody else's comic without saying who did it or where their website is.
Right.
Or,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I've had a little bit of experience with this too, but here's the way. It is perfectly acceptable in a reasonable font size to put your name and URL on a piece that you submit to somebody else. Just don't make it like overtly huge. Like try to keep it to, I mean, because out of respect, you know, try to keep it to the, you know, about what their little blurb at the bottom of their comics size is, for respects, you know. Be reasonable, but it's not unjustifiable to put that on any sort of guest strip or art.
Well, and the best thing to do is actually just put the little copyright symbol, your name and your link, because then you've actually copyrighted your image as well. You know, you are putting that image on someone else's site. Normally, everything on that person's site falls to their copyright. By doing that, you're making sure that, you know, you're retaining right to all your stuff, regardless of what they may do with their site in the future.
And doing guest art or having filler art from somebody else is so much better than pulling a Daedalus Blue where you just stop.
Yeah.
For years.
Yeah.
Months. Just goes on and on. Well, where's the new page? Update here. Nothing. The website's gone.
All right. We're going to have to go to break. When we come back, one more.
Awesome.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
How are we running on time, Fess?
Well, we already passed the first 20 minutes.
Okay, yeah. So
we can run into the third segment since we did talk about some third segment-y stuff already. So.
Well, I think that the next one is going to be pretty cut and dry. So we can pick up a lot of time doing number 7. That's the working website. Except, Mark's going to attack Rocket Llama.
We'll start number 7 right now.
We'll start number... I'm done talking to IT,
Well, that's fine. We were going to start anyway.
Oh, fine. I'm going to listen to my background conversation about chocolate and Tang.
It's a kick in the ass.
Which bit? Tang?
Yeah. Kicking the glass, get it?
The astronauts.
I know. It's what the astronauts never drank. They took Tang on one mission.
The irony.
The same thing with that ice cream. You know, the freeze-dried ice cream you can buy? It's like the ice cream the astronauts eat. They took it once.
Space thoughts, yeah.
Ooh. And then they didn't like
it. Were like, hey, we're in space. We've got all this advanced technology. How come this ice cream's horrible?
Exactly. They're like, wait a minute. This is like slightly flavored styrofoam. Why don't we just bring a packet of ice cream? And they went, oh, yeah, that's better.
They did figure out how to do pizza, though, recently.
They did recently figure out how to do pizza. I guess the texture is still not quite...
Well, it's like cooking at, like, high altitudes. really high altitudes.
Well, except you've got the additional problem that the pizza keeps floating off the oven, which...
Oh, yeah.
Pepperoni. I know.
And then all the separate ingredients.
There's no crisping in space. All
right. Shall we do number seven?
I think
number
we should.
Number seven, yes. And okay. I will stop Mark before he goes into what he's going to talk about.
Number seven is a really cut and dry, simple and easy one, mm-hmm. but it's one so many people screw up. Have a working website. I mean, I'm not talking about like pretty or nice. I'm talking about functional. There are a few essentials that you really need for a functional website. You need the comic to actually show up at some point in time and be fairly easy to find. Most comics, unless you have been at it for a long time or the comic is a secondary item to something else that you're already doing on the website, mm-hmm. the comic should be on the front page when you load. You know, you go to the .com or whatever it is, the comic should be staring at people right there.
Right.
You shouldn't have to go through 30 links to find it.
Should be above that, the fold as well, at least part of it, which would mean they should not have to scroll down to see some of at part of it. So right. Before they scroll, there should be some inkling that there's a comic there.
Yeah, at least, you know, the top couple of panels if you're doing a vertically aligned one like mine. Something to tell people, oh, hey, I found the page where the comic's at. Previous, next, first, and last buttons, they're fairly standard issue with right. just about every comic management system.
Do not use last when you mean previous. Yes, we know, clever. It's the last one that updated. No, last means most recent.
Unless you're actually going to put recent...
If you're trying to keep words that are all relatively the same size and previous is a bit long,
Prev.
You can go back as opposed to previous. But
right.
Let's see, other things. Most people really like archives, especially if it's a new comic and they want to see how far they're getting into, how far you've gone into. It's mm-hmm. not like... as essential as the others, but it still is very essential. Also, some sort of contact information so that, you know, if people do like your comic and want to tell you that they like your comic, they can find
hate
you.
It.
I've never gotten an email that says, I hate your comic, you're worthless. I've had a couple that say, you know, your politics suck. But I'm like, okay. That's not so harsh.
If you don't have a comic on the first page, make sure you have a static link to your comic, like somethingsomething.com/comic, and that's where the latest, always the latest comic will be. Sometimes you'll find a link where you can find, okay, so this is a link to the comic, but it's a link to the specific comic that's updated right now. Well, that makes it a pain in the ass to try to find the latest comic, so... It's really you want to make it convenient for new people to want to quickly be able to bookmark your thing if they want to check it out more later, or if they really like it and want to see it without having to click a million times.
Yeah.
And that's from a reader's perspective here.
The other thing with your, you know, your first back, next, whatever you're going to do it, if you could make them words or... You know, we're all pretty familiar with the VCR buttons at this point, or, you know, clear arrows. Mm-hmm. Could you please not make them, you know, bizarre filigree modifications of a character or something where it just looks like you have random pictures at the bottom of your comic? If you could do that, that would be awesome. I hate
Way
that.
Off. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that either.
I freaking hate Goof that.
Symbols or something. Or how about when they put them on the sides of the comic, an arrow back and an arrow?
It's not right. I've seen it executed once, kind of nicely. It was an alien based comic, and so they had like kind of crop circle navigations. And while they were I guess, cool, and it, you know, it matched with the comic. When you scrolled over them, you know, when you put your mouse over them, it would actually change. The image would change to say first, last, next, which was nice, but it's still unnecessary. Just write the word. If you're going to do funky graphics, actually write the navigation word underneath the button, please. Yeah. Just
and
please.
That, this actually brings up something I've never mentioned when doing this before, but it's a really good point. There's also the overly worked sites as opposed to the underly worked sites. If you've got a site which is using 16 different Java and Flash applications to run it and to make it look like this huge professional thing, but it takes 20 minutes to load a page even with high speed internet because of all the crap that you've got on there, and it's only compatible with like Firefox and nothing else, that's not a good sign.
No. You become a niche comic if you do that.
Yeah, I
would argue that people should at this point still be programming to be at least moderately compatible with Internet Explorer 6. And I know there's a lot of web developers who would hurt me for saying this, but the truth is there's a lot of people that are still using it. If you've got any site metric functionality to your site and you can see the browsers that people are using. My work, for instance, they only upgraded us to Internet Explorer 7 about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Because all of the systems were tied into 6. We had a Microsoft server that ran specific applications, and it had not been upgraded, and so we couldn't go off of 6. And it would just kill me to see a webcomic, and I load up the webcomic, and it shunts me to a page telling me, I can't view your comic because I'm not using Firefox.
7 or Firefox or
something.
If you are building your own site, you should know, first of all, you should know enough to know that it's easier to build a site to be compatible with Firefox, and all of its various, you know, Opera, all of the other things, and then make that compatible with Internet Explorer than it is to make an Internet Explorer site compatible to Firefox, etc. And if your site is compatible for Firefox, it's usually compatible for everything but Internet Explorer. And it's literally 2-3 lines of code that you put in at the very beginning that will make a Firefox-compatible site work with Internet Explorer. So don't go backwards. Don't start with Internet Explorer and try to make it compatible to everything else. Start with everything else and make it compatible to Internet Explorer.
There's a website somewhere, I forget what it is, where you can basically test your site URL with dozens of different types of browsers. It'll go through, run its browser program, take screen caps, basically,
yeah,
of if
that's called
and or how
I use
loads.
I use NetMechanic. If you go to NetMechanic.com, they do have a browser test. You know, it's really good. It shows you exactly what it's going to look like in all those different browsers.
It sometimes will show you when it breaks too, I think. Well, at least when I was thinking of it'll, because it'll look at the code and tell you basically where it breaks if it's not showing up or something, I think.
If your site is compatible with Firefox and not Internet Explorer, normally what you need is a little paragraph at the beginning that says, Internet Explorer, please read this site in this type of HTML, and you're good to go.
Or at least, I mean, even if it comes up wrong, if you can navigate the comic, that's
just make
ideal.
It work. Yes, navigation.
And this is such a simple thing, and I don't get why so many people get this wrong, because if you're using a hosting option like Drunk Duck, Comic Genesis, Mac Jeeves, they come with this pre-installed. All you have to do is put your comics in. And then when you have as many great applications out there like WordPress, Comic Press, years and years and years ago, I was one of the I helped develop the like second generation of Walrus, which is a really simple PHP script, which basically causes a comic to come into existence on a website. I helped Jim Newberry work out all the bugs and install that on as many people as wanted it. and that was just, that was such an easy little program. And there's a ton of things out there that do this for you, but I can't, you know, there's a great comic I saw. It was called Lepus, and it's about a crime-fighting superhero rabbit. And the comic is like hand-painted, and it looks like something out of somebody's dreams or nightmares. And I was just absolutely fascinated with it, except for the fact where instead of having any sort of orderly comic navigation, the comics came up in light boxes. Which was a script which caused it to be displayed. And the comics themselves were huge and were scaled down to whatever screen you were looking at. And there was no way without hacking into the HTML to pull up the original address so that you could put it in your browser and see the comic the size it was supposed to be. And if you're going to do an infinite canvas sort of thing like that, you need to have some way that people can, you know, take it all in instead of having to view it at some awkward resolution like 73% scaled down where everything gets pixelated and blocky.
Yeah.
So
lock your browser up, Doc.
In the interest of keeping things moving, I think we should probably go now.
We should go.
Numbers 8 and 9 are kind of the same issue, but they're from two different sides of it. One of them is, number 8 is having realistic expectations about how well you're going to do. And then number 9 is having realistic expectations about how much time and money you're willing to put in. So one is an ingoing effort, and then the other is what you're going to get back from the comic. One of the big things that I hit on in my How Not To series of comics, and I'm going to keep hitting on this because it's just a fantastic device, is the would-be comic author that I have keeps buying unrealistic, ungodly amounts of merchandise for a webcomic which he hasn't even successfully put on the internet yet. You know, I think I had a thing where he's like, I hope 9,000 t-shirts is enough to get me through the first month.
Wow. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I just... I
must give a big family.
It's... I see so many times when I'm going through new comics, because I read a lot of new comics, which is partially how I've developed this How Not To thing. The third link that goes up on a person's site, first they have the about, then they usually have the archives, and then the third thing that I see go up is store. And if you, like we were saying at the beginning there, if you can't sell 12 comics or 12 t-shirts, you shouldn't be buying t-shirts yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's a great temptation. You've created something. You're proud of it. You want to share it with the world. You want to turn yourself into a walking billboard for it, and you want a shirt. There's no reason to drag the rest of the world down with you, though, by forcing shirts on everyone else. For your initial run of shirts, use some sort of a print-on-demand thing. I personally have a couple of issues with Cafe Press, though they have gotten better. I will definitely say that they've gotten better than they used to be, but there's a number of different options out there, like Spreadshirt.
Zazzle
was a good one.
That was the one I was looking for.
Perfection's favorite, I think, for shirts. For print-on shirts, they're very good.
Which one's Zazzle?
Printfection. No, Printfection.
And if you, as the creator of your comic, want a shirt, that's fine. But don't expect anyone else to want a shirt. don't expect anyone else to, I mean, don't, I myself for PenguinCon was kind of guilty of this. I went through about 2 months of prepping and building a set of print comics for my comic. I created like an anthology where I picked the best stuff from year one, and I did up like three little print handheld thingies for $5. It was $5 for full color. It just was something to put on my table to say, hey, here's a comic. Here's a nice taste of it to get you hooked. I barely sold any. It's even, you know, I've been around a year and change. I knew people at the convention. I was kind of invited to the convention, and yet, despite all of that, I still couldn't get rid of these for trying. So,
yeah.
You were trying pretty hard, too.
You were. You were doing it. You were an excellent salesman. And it is going to matter on it. The type of convention matters as well. I never print up things for a single convention. You know, I never do anything different for this convention than I've done for other ones. Except there are a few where I keep certain things of merchandise at home because they're, you know, not deemed appropriate for the audience.
Anytime you have to venture into the Bible Belt, huh?
Well, yeah. We have a couple of conventions out, even out here in Denver, that are listed as all ages, and they won't allow anything that has sexual language or, you know, even covered nipples, things like that, on the table. So, I just leave that stuff at home, you know, for those conventions. When I make my purchases for conventions, I make them for all the conventions. So, you know, once a year, I'm, you know, printing up this many t-shirts, this many flyers, this many mini comics, this, that, and the other. And that's what I take. And, you know, if I sell out of something, maybe I'll get more. But, you know, for the most part, I don't generally recommend buying a crapload of merchandise for a single convention, just because you never know what the crowd's going to be like. Even if it's a convention you've been to before, this year they could suck and nobody wants to buy anything. But there's no shame in pre-sales as far as t-shirts and even anthologies and things go. Put it up on your site for pre-sale. If you get 6 pre-sale, you know, pre-sales, you know that you can order 12 of that item, and they're not going to be sitting in your attic for years. But yeah, don't go crazy. Don't put huge amounts of money into something that isn't sustainable yet.
And if you do put something out, slapping the logo on there or a character's face, etc., those are not going to sell unless you have like a mega comic. What really is going to help sell for the usual cases are going to be ones that can stand alone without really needing to know the comic at all. Because that allows people to feel like they're not a complete nerd walking out in daytime with, and then you have nobody else knows what you kind of feel. I don't wear my own freaking shirt that I made up from Cafe Press because I feel dumb wearing it. Really, it's kind of dumb, but it's, you know, something clever, like a something that might be like a one panel scene with like one thing of dialogue or a little bit of subtext is going to work better than slapping a logo on there. It's all very, it can potentially be kind of subjective in this, and part of it's luck too, but from a buyer's perspective, I believe I'm going on the right track.
You should always have broad appeal. You know, if you're only selling to the fans of your comic, definitely go with pre-sale. Then you know that, yes, this is something that your fan base wants. And if they want to advertise your comic for you, that's awesome. But if you're looking to actually make money on a shirt, it needs to have appeal to people who don't read the comic as well. Now, when your fans wear that shirt, it'll be a little different than when somebody, you know, who's never read your comic reads it, in that when they go out in public and somebody says, oh, hey, cool shirt, they're going to give the whole big rundown of your comic, which is great. But there's no reason you shouldn't take the money of the guy that isn't reading your comic, too. really.
And I think the market that you're in also changes that, because I know I had a lot of website-based interest in my Gayzilla t-shirt, which is a character from the comic, and I didn't sell a single one at the convention, yet I've only had one person ask me about the Triangle comic, which is just this wall of text of bad geometry puns. But you know, I sold several of those at the convention. Yeah. So where you're selling it also factors into it big, because I think the ultimate drive of having the realistic expectations and spending time and money is knowing your readership and not falsely aggrandizing them and believing that they are better than they actually are. It's if you ever find yourself looking at stats and going, oh, well, yeah, obviously Google is considering half of my readers as spy bots or something like that. Yeah, no, it's pretty accurate. That's, in fact, if anything, there may be more false positives than false negatives on there.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter as far as actual numbers. I mean, you can have a small comic with a devout following, and you can have a huge comic where everybody likes it, but nobody really cares. I mean, it's because I know I've seen the comics like that where one guy will be hugely interactive with the fan base, and even though it's not nearly the size, the fans love them and will go to the ends of the earth. And then other comics where you have a large hypothetical following, but when it actually comes time to get, you know, like guest art or something like that, or to donate if the author artist is having problems or something like that, it's like extracting teeth from fans.
Yeah. If you really want a good idea, you know, if you're looking at your comic and you're looking at it as marketing and you're wanting to know what kind of merchandise you should carry and what kind of money you should be spending, go ahead and if you have the ability, put in QuantCast code on your site. QuantCast is one of those stat sites, you know, that tells you how many people are visiting your comic, but it goes several steps beyond that. It will tell you the average age of your readers. It will tell you whether or not they're college educated, whether or not they have children, how much money they make a year.
Why I block cookies.
Whether or not they're wearing clothes while reading your comic.
We should really move on, because we have to take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we should wrap this up.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at webcomicbeacon.com/live.
Because we just did 8 and 9 together.
Oh, 8 and 9 was together?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was how much money you should spend on your comic and merchandising for it.
And how much you should expect back out of it. Too.
Yeah.
Nothing!
Oh. Wow. You just want to cry. My comic readership is 60% male. There's a shock. Between the ages of 12 and 34. I don't know who you 12-year-olds are, but stop it.
Bunch of perbs.
Wait, there's only one left? Well, I think I know what that one is. So
yes.
I want to revisit an old one. We had mentioned once already was the bad storylines, or...
Oh, yeah, yes. That one.
That was last week.
I know we mentioned this at the PenguinCon, but... did we approach the bad premise thing, such as, oh, I need a character development change, let's kill off their parents or have them get raped?
No, we didn't. But I don't know which comics you've been reading where you have the parents get raped as character development.
No, not the parents get raped, the character gets raped.
Oh, well, that's
as far as the parents just getting killed for no freaking idea, yeah, the reason was abstract gender, for one. Out
a character
of the blue,
getting raped is the
for.
New dead parents. Yeah. Yes, I get that. It gives you, supposedly, it's like, people tend to use it as instant background, as though that character from here on out can be defined from a single event, be it dead parents, be it a rape instance, be it this, that, or the other. That is their new definition.
Raped dead parents.
Dead parents. God, this is getting worse.
This has been going on since Batman. Okay, you cannot establish a person's entire identity by a single event. If you are, you're a lazy writer, and you should be ashamed of yourselves. We are all composite individuals, and your character should be as well.
Well, I'm doing something I absolutely love for character development, except for the bit where I can't actually use it. I had my main character quit a couple of months ago, and he walked out of the comic mid-comic and has since been showing up in other people's comics as like a poor man's Jenny Everywhere, and it's really doing great to see like what other people think of him and what sort of things they can put him through that I wouldn't have been able to put through. The only problem is, of course, now that he's quit, he's not in my comic anymore.
are you drawing guest strips, or are people just you borrowing
the
character?
No, I released him on a open source license, basically, making him almost like Jenny Everywhere. The only difference is, in the end, eventually he comes back to me, but he's on a they can change him, they can modify him,
he's
and
on
then
sabbatical,
anyone
really.
Else, yeah, anyone else who picks him up can run with the changes and modifications other people have made. So that when he does eventually come back, you know, hopefully he'll have all these cool kick-ass superpowers and battle scars and wonderful experiences that he can talk about, because the main complaint was, you know, he's not an interesting main character. He's just this cynical guy that sits around and complains about TV. So that was fine when my comic started, but then it got several more complicated characters that came up underneath him as secondary characters, so we kind of threw him out to see what he comes back as.
All right. Nice. You're collecting all these images and such, I'm assuming, or links at least. Can you send me an email link to, in case anybody else listening is interested in which character you're talking about?
Yeah, sure.
And I'll get that in the show notes.
Okay, great. No problem. So are we ready for number 10?
I think we are.
I don't know.
Wait a minute.
Did you want to talk about dead raped parents some more?
No.
I can't imagine why.
Mark is
something
on your mind.
I want to talk about website design.
Oh, yeah. And I'll probably interrupt you, but go ahead.
I just want to say, I want you know who, to listen to me like I'm E.F. Hutton. Your website design is so bad, it makes me want to go outside and stomp on buttercups, okay? Too many ads are too many. If I can't find the comic, you're wrong. You need to fix it. Rocket, I'm after there.
Period.
And for the record, I did tweet forsation with the Rocket Llama people, and they are very much aware.
Oh, good.
And they are. I want to get them to come on the site, the show, to talk about
their choices.
Yeah, but it has been made clear of where the newest comic is now. And even the link itself there is a link to a static page, which is /today/comic.html. So you should be able to just bookmark that if you just want to see the comic. And it's a page a week then.
Yeah.
But other than that, the whole site is fairly intimidating if you're a new visitor and you have no idea what the heck is going on. It's supposed to be a zine type of site, as far as what I've been told. But it kind of looks like one of those link black hole portals a little bit. But
you can set up zines in ways where they don't look like that. There are a number of successful zines online where you could maybe get a model.
Right.
There's this great button. You know, if you go to any webpage and you right-click, you should be able to find something that says View Page Source. You have no excuse for not being able to build your site like somebody else's that works. So,
one other thing. This is for this site, too. Obviously, we're ragging on RocketLlama.com, but obviously this is also promotion, kind of, sort of. All promotion is good promotion. What is it? Publicity is good publicity.
Publicity is good publicity. There
but
go.
Right now you have your background, your everything that you're trying to contain everything with, the border, you have that set to basically be 100% of the image. And where it will stretch and shrink as you do it. I would recommend setting something, especially, it's fairly common, especially with WordPress stuff, set it to like maybe 1,000 pixels max, so it will fit. So basically try to think of putting your main content in something that will fit nicely into a 1024 by, that resolution. Okay. And then if it spreads out, you have like the background image, which kind of looks, it kind of keeps things a bit contained, because if you have if you're looking at this site on a widescreen, holy crap, everything's just kind of but it helps keep things contained.
I just found their problem. I went to Rocket Llama, and I did the little view source.
Yeah,
they made it all in front page. Takes away half of your options. Stop it.
Front page.
Poor Rocket Llama.
Front page is fine. I use standalone front page for whenever I'm editing and doing stuff with my thing. The problem is just maybe... No. going overboard on tables is what can really kill you, especially your load time.
See, but I've chastised you already.
Yeah, but I'm not listening.
It's 2009.
But...
There's no excuse for this.
I've used front page for the Shifter Archive, and it is still functional, and I've managed to. It is functional.
It is functional.
Netscape 4 is functional.
It's not crazy.
He has a point. Web TV is functional.
In any case, number one.
What's our last tip, Adam?
Okay, the final item here on the How Not to Webcomic list. Ironically, but intended for irony, is listening to others.
Yes.
Now, we touched upon this back in number 4, which is the inspiration versus imitation. You're not Penny Arcade. You're never going to be Penny Arcade. Even if you would do fantastically well and you would rise to a level that surpasses even Penny Arcade, then you're still not Penny Arcade. You're you, and other people will want to be you as opposed to wanting to be Penny Arcade. The thing that makes your comic good is your unique, original voice. And as much as you can get tips and tricks from others, you still have to find your own way. There is a guy out there who I've clashed with a couple of times on the internet, and I shall not say his name, as his name is a forbidden name to say. but he's basically what I akin to a butterfly collector. He likes to dismantle webcomics to try and understand what makes them work.
I know who this is! I know who this is!
Yeah, and about this point, everybody says that. He catches them in the net and sticks them in the jar with the formaldehyde, and he jabs them through with a pin and mounts them on a board, and then wonders why they don't fly anymore.
Yeah.
Because
he's trying to find an all-working formula or something. It doesn't exist. I would have to say that success in webcomics on the internet is a combination of who you know, for one, luck, and skill. A combination of all three of those. Because I've seen excellently skilled comics online, but for some reason they're just not getting it for some reason. So that's part of the luck thing, and possibly about who they know. I've known some people that just get a couple of links from who you know, some really good websites, and then boom, nice traffic there, and you get a lot of reference, extra traffic. And really, whether or not it's really going to take off is almost pure luck, because it's such a mixed bag out there. But go ahead, continue. And
there's some people out there that have a fantastic voice, that have great ideas, that that really, really are putting their heart and soul into it, but are maybe not fantastic at it. And then there's other people out there who anything that they do, you know, that they draw a page and it looks super professional from the get-go, and they just don't care. So, I mean, it's really, there is no golden rule. There is no right mixture in order to find this success. And anyone who tries to sell you that bag of goods is selling you something false. That's why this is how not to, as opposed to how to, because there really is no specific how to. The best thing I can do is point out some of the common mistakes that everybody makes starting out that have a tendency to, what was it I said, derail the comic, disenfranchise the audience, and demoralize the artist. That it's really about finding yourself. So, if in the course of making your comic, you find that you need to break one, two, all. Well, okay, some of them, like the working website, the comic that can be read, probably should be left alone. But I've even seen exceptions to that. There's some comics where the website's functionality or lack thereof is part of the overall experience. Like MS Paint Adventures, where the navigation of the website is part of the comic. Or there was and I wish I could remember it, but the entire comic is in gibberish. The language is not a real language. It's this like font set and this language this guy made up. And because of this, he's gotten fans that will go overboard trying to figure out what the characters are saying, which is far more fan involvement than most comics, where you can just sit there and read 12-point Comic Sans. That's more involvement than any of them are going to get from almost any of their fandom. So it's really, it's about taking chances. It's about finding what's right. And web comics are a lot like children. You're going to screw the first one up.
And sometimes you have to smack them around a little bit.
Yeah. Nice.
Go stay in a corner, Rocket Llama.
Okay, I got one thing to say.
Okay.
While we sit here and tell you what to do and then tell you not to listen to anybody, that doesn't mean that other people don't have good advice. Like, especially when it comes to art or writing. I mean, there are technically good ways to put together art. Color, such as, you know, proportions, you know, it all depends on what you're going for as well. So there are still technically good things that you're taught in school. Same thing comes with writing about building backgrounds and characters. And there are technically correct things, quote unquote, that you can do in all of these aspects. You know, things you go to school for and things that, you know, people learn and pass down, things that have worked. But sometimes, you know, it really depends on what you're going for. And just don't completely write everybody off. Take everything at heart either.
I think that there is some sort of, you know, inversely proportionate equation that can be made here Okay, if you are going to ignore all of this advice, if you're going to ignore all of the things that you should not do, your talent needs to be inversely proportionate. You can't suck and not follow any of the rules and be successful. That's not going to work. For Criminy's sake, you're not XKCD. Okay, he's incredibly talented, and that's why he's able to overcome so many of these rules. He is able to use vernacular that not everyone gets. He is a niche comic. The art is not spectacular by nature. All of these things he's ignored, but his talent is inversely proportionate. He's not just a schlub. He's actually very good at what he does. You still can't, and for God's sake, don't be angry. If you're going to ignore everyone's advice and you're going to say, I'm taking my own path, you're going to, you know, quote Emerson and be that guy, fine.
La, 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 la.
Don't get pissed off if we don't like it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. If you're going to, you want to call yourself a hobbyist like Fest does and go your own road and ignore all the advice, that's fine.
Go don't your dare. Own way.
Don't you dare get pissed off that you don't have 10,000 readers a day. Don't you dare. Just, I can't take it. That drives me insane more than anything else. The arrogance implied by, I am going to do something that you all find appalling. And then demand your attention.
Yeah, I do that, but I don't demand anyone's attention. So.
You don't. So and that's why you've been spared my wrath.
If you ever find yourself going into uncharted territory, and you say to yourself, this is such a great idea, I wonder why nobody has ever thought of it, chances are somebody probably has and has also learned why not to go down that road.
Or you're not searching good enough.
Or you're not good enough. It's okay to admit that.
Yeah, right. It's if you follow all of these steps and you don't do anything that's too out of the box, you will probably have at least a nominally successful comic. You may not be the next breakout person because breaking out involves taking chances, making risks, going that extra step. But at the same time, going that extra step also puts you in the crosshairs. You know, it's like watching geese fly. You know, you get the big group and then you get the one up at the front and then one of them decides, I'm going this way and heads in a different direction. Now, sometimes the geese will shift and go after him and he'll become the new one in front. And other times he winds up off on his own, getting Cold. Shot at by geese hunters while the rest of the bee has gone on without him.
Cold, hungry, dying, and mateless.
It's a fine, fine mixture
You're
of...
describing me. What?
Oh, yeah, okay. We gotta wrap this up, folks.
Oh, fine.
But we do have a couple of things to mention before. And I hope this, the list that we have gone through, the two-part episode of the Webcomic Beacon, How Not to Make a Webcomic, has maybe left you with a kind of, feeling. And, I'm sorry,
hope they feel kind of meh?
Yeah. What that means? What?
No, I'm just stealing a joke from Eddie Izzard. In any case, just to go over a couple of milestones that we had, one that we were supposed to mention, I guess, last month, or at the beginning of this month, is ToiletTexting.com had hit 100 strips. So congratulations, Toilet Texting. I have not seen what it is yet. I just found the old forward in the email from Tanya, and I didn't quite see what it was for. Moving on to, let's see, other milestones. We also have, let me try to... Ravelob, the little town that Awesome built, turns 1 year old on May 23rd, and that's at Ravelob, ravilob.com. And let's see, it looks like it's a sequel. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, they made a prequel to one of the main characters, Mort the Alien Slacker. So go ahead and check that out. Also, Twisted Musings has hit at least 300 issues and also 2 years without missing a deadline. So congratulations for that. Not missing a deadline is excellent. The Beacon, yeah. The Beacon has barely missed anything. If anything, it's been because we needed the time off. But in about 80 weeks of being online with 77 episodes, that's pretty good. Another milestone. You may have heard of this one, Dungeon Legacy at DungeonLegacy.com. George, who does our show notes, this is his comic. His Dungeon Legacy comic has hit 100 pages, so go ahead and check that out. We have, let's see here, we got a couple of emails. Oh, the guy who did aptitude test said, hey, thanks for mentioning this on the show, et cetera, et cetera. And he also submits the comic for Webcomic Impressions, which, yes, we are very, very much behind Webcomic Impressions, and we will get to this, to Impressions, in a certain episode sometime. We might even release the list of what we got so far and possibly invite some of our readers to take a look and give us our impressions, either in email or something, just quick impressions, and then we'll probably spend an episode talking about several of them. So this will probably be for one of those times we can't think of a theme. So we have something to discuss. Also, remember Ellen Trinidad, who did Speak No Evil?
Mm-hmm.
This, yes. Yeah, he was up for an Eisner Award for Best Digital Comic. You can go to EisnerVote.com, and apparently comic creators or such like that can vote on it and everything as well. So I thought I'd go ahead and give that a little bit of a hey, check it out, since it did win a Webcomic Beaky Award. So... it's the theory of everything comics.com is his site, and don't forget to check out his comic God Trademark, which is a very actually much longer title than it should be, because it's funny, but it's kind of really cool idea. So anyway, that's it for the milestones. Now before we go, we have to mention who's advertising on the show. For the past couple of weeks, I did notice that Rosetta Stone at rosettastonecomic.com had been advertising largely on our site for a while, but they didn't get to be on the Sunday. But I did want to make a mention, because they had large bids on our site, so I give a fair nod and thank you for that. This week, we have two personalized ads specifically for the Webcomic Beacon, so we're obviously going to, hey, check out these comics for sure. The first one has our leaderboard. Jaden and Crusader at jadenandcrusader.com has a funny little banner ad running at the top, because even though we're on hiatus and frequently short of advertising cash, we love the Webcomic Beacon, and we're going to do our bit to support it. So that's kind of cool. That's at jadenandcrusader.com. Also, once again, Yosh at yoshsaga.com is advertising on our tower ad, which supporting the entertaining people of the Webcomic Beacon. Looking forward to the next episode. And then he just goes down, yes, this image is just a panel from the comic. So, I mean, I'm looking at it. It's the one with the two cat girls on it. And Well, I think I know what's going on. It's clicky. Otherwise, it's obviously suggestive. And, of course, the Apple of Discord has our banner ad. And you can check out the Apple of Discord with Adam Smithy at theappleofdiscord.com. You know, Adam Smithy, that makes me just think of, like, it's supposed to be an apple. Is that how you came up with the Apple of Discord? I mean, I keep thinking of, like, Granny Smith, Adam Smithy. Apple, yeah, that sounds about right.
There's a long and complicated story behind it, so probably one best saved for a different day.
Oh, well, all right. We can do that for another episode. Coming up possibly in July, we'll do an episode where... How did you come up with your comic name? We'll announce that, and then definitely, people, send in what you came up with. It's kind of like free advertising with a funny, hopefully embarrassing story. about how you came up with your comic name. It should be fun for everyone. But that is it for this week of the Webcomic Beacon. Next week, we are having Rich Morris of the fan Doctor Who fan comic, The Ten Doctors, on with us.
Oh,
I'm
that's
looking
awesome.
Forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're a Doctor Who fan, I would highly recommend checking this out. He says that he hasn't really seen read much of the books or anything, so they're mostly based off of the television series as far as how it could potentially fit into the storyline. But even I, with just a basic understanding of Doctor Who, I found it very enjoyable. And so I would assume that Doctor Who fans would also enjoy it. This has been Fess of Fessworks.com.
This is Tanya of Betapone.com.
This is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
And this is Adam of TheAppleOfDiscord.com.
That's all for The Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.